I would love to welcome, after her many years of developer experience at Apollo, she is now the founder of Scale Advisors, handling all things developer marketing, and we'll get into that more. Please welcome to the Last Tech Podcast, let's face it, the absolute best in the business, Peggy Razis, my friend. Welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I've been looking forward to this for weeks because I feel like this is going to be super fun, and I can't wait to get into all things developer marketing with you.
Let's do it. So I wanted to start on a nostalgic note. I've brought my React Conf water bottle, which is the first place that I ever met you. It is an artifact.
You still have
it. I do. It is an artifact of our friendship. I met you at React Conf 2017. I think you were giving... You worked at Major League Soccer at the time, I think, way back in the day.
Yeah, I worked at Major League Soccer. I had spoken at like meetups and stuff before, but this was like my first like big conference talk, and I did a lightning talk on React Native and universal components and charting libraries. It was really fun. But like the memorable thing about that talk, which is like crazy for it to like happen to your first one, the tech just bombed, and I literally had to like leave the stage so they could fix it.
Beautiful.
And then it's like you just have to like make a joke and like roll with it, and I think because, and then it was like great, you know, like the audience is like rooting for you, like they want you to do well at that point, you
know? Yeah, absolutely. They want anything else to be happen except that. Yes,
yeah,
totally.
But then like it was great, you know, and it like was such a formative experience for me having that happen like on my first like real big one, because it's like it can't get any worse than
this is the bottom of hell, and yeah. I live there. Yeah.
I went there, I came out, I made a joke, people laughed, and we all survived. Like it was good. But like it gave me confidence, I think, in my future talks to come that were, you know, longer, maybe larger audiences, like whatever, because it's like, you know, if you can get through that, you can get through anything.
Totally. And that doesn't seem to have killed your career. I think you've done okay since then. That wasn't the last day. That wasn't the last day of your work. From there, you went on to every single role in developer experience you could think of at Apollo. And yeah, I feel like from you started with this really solid tech background, obviously working as an engineer, but you also have this like great intuition and sixth sense about marketing and what messages actually resonate with people versus what developers write in a weird hovel about what they want to say. You really have a way of handling that messaging. So did you work in marketing roles before your work with Apollo as a software engineer?
Kind of, sort of. So before I even got into tech, I was working at Macy's doing like buying and planning. A lot of it was like kind of programming spreadsheets, but a lot of it was like campaigns and ads and like how do you show these clothes, or I was in bedding. I was also in lingerie.
Yeah.
Like how do you show them in an appealing way? And I guess in some way that's sort of marketing, right? Like figure out what's kind of trending, what's going to resonate with a specific audience, look at the data, see kind of like what's selling, what's not, and then kind of either buy more of that item or mark it down or whatever. So like, I feel like it's kind of been in my blood a little bit. But like, obviously marketing to developers is like very, very different, as you know. And I think like my experience as an engineer and adopting software myself and being part of a team and seeing how software is adopted on teams and at large companies, I think gave me a really great perspective into it. I also just kind of like fell into developer marketing, right? Like when I was hired at Apollo, I was hired as a open source engineer. Like I was working on client tooling at the time and kind of building like little libraries and integrations based on user feedback, whether that was like simplifying setup with Apollo Boost or like building a persisted cache because that was something that people needed for offline support, or like local state management, right? And it's kind of like developers want you to solve their problems. And so I think the best developer marketing is actually not like marketing in the traditional sense. It's like understanding what they're struggling with and educating them and teaching them something. Because if you can do that, if you can help them learn and help them have fun doing it, which I know, you know, like from your work at Moon Highway, like they'll love you forever, right? Like you can build that trust and build a great brand. So yeah, that's kind of how I fell into it, I guess.
I love that. And I think that you just said Apollo Boost, which are two words I haven't heard together in so long, but that really did solve a problem, which was like, how on earth do you really get started with this stuff? And how do you, yeah, that made things so much easier for me as a teacher and for tons of countless developers as they were getting started. So thank you for that. That reminded me of that.
You had the conference talk with like the tattoo, and because there were literally like five packages. You needed like GraphQL, you needed Apollo client, you needed like the links, you needed like the cache, you needed like all of the things, right? And it was like, for somebody just getting started, they don't even know like what GraphQL is, like how to write a schema, how to write a resolver, like how do I integrate this into my React app? And you're still learning that. Just installing all of those packages and setting up the link chain, it takes time. And you had the great like move with the tattoo of all
I still have packages. That. Just kidding.
We should bring it back.
That lasted for exactly one day and was, yeah, covered in foil on my arm. I think, yeah, that ability to communicate with developers as people is definitely one of your special sauce strengths. And how do you think about marketing to developers as being different than marketing to other groups? Like, what really resonates with them?
Yeah, I think it's helping them solve their problems at the end of the day is like the most important thing, and really like understanding what they're struggling with. And you can really, I think, only do that by going into the communities and spaces where they hang out and like really intently listening to them, because there's nothing more frustrating than like encountering this bug, or maybe you're getting like paged, you know, on call at like midnight, right? Like, and you like really want to figure out like intently what those pain points are, and then listen to them, help them feel heard, and then you can educate them with like really great tutorials. You can provide spaces for them to gather, whether that's like through online communities like Discord or at in-person events. Sometimes even just like, and I recommend this to my clients, like in the early days, like who maybe don't have the budget to put on like a big GraphQL summit, right? Just like informally connect to developers who don't know each other that are like maybe working on the same problem, right? Like maybe they're both working at big banks, like handling a bunch of APIs, or you know, maybe they both are working with this tech stack, right? Like just connecting people together and letting them share ideas, I think, is another great way. Really, it should just feel like helping and education at the end of the day. It shouldn't really feel like marketing if you're doing it correctly. There are some like marketing-y elements that are important, like consistency, right? Like you ideally want to have taglines in multiple places that are consistent and kind of speak to the same value props. Like also like on your homepage, that's maybe more tailored towards like a buyer versus like an individual developer who's looking at the docs. So like knowing your audiences, those are like maybe more marketing specific concepts. But yeah, for developers specifically, I think it's all about education and learning.
Yeah. And you did that so well with Apollo Odyssey, which still exists after you, which is good. Which is a video tutorial series that there's a bunch of different audiences for that as well. But I think the way that you thought about developer education and made it look really good too, with the help of videographers and artists and all those awesome people, was really important. So how did that all come to be, the Odyssey educational part of rolling out these open source tools?
Yeah, so Odyssey came out of, we had this like multi-part tutorial called the Full Stack Tutorial, and it was hosted on the Apollo Docs like for a while. I worked on one of the first versions of it like back in the day. It was like one of the first things that I did, and it was like super popular. But like as more enterprises and larger teams were adopting Apollo and GraphQL, they like needed to go a bit deeper. And especially if you have like hundreds of developers on a team, right? Ideally, you want to check that like all of them kind of understand GraphQL in the same way and are learning through the same resources. You want things like certifications, right? You want to be able to like check people's progress. And so I think that's kind of where the vision of Odyssey came from, is like, how do we create this really great learning platform so that everybody who uses Apollo and GraphQL has this like amazing, really high quality resource to go to? And at the time, nothing really like fit our needs as like an off the shelf platform that we could use. One of the things we really wanted to include was like code challenges, because I think, and like, you know this from teaching workshops, right? Like developers learn by doing and like actually like building something themselves, right? So we wanted some sort of like interactive element to it. And so, yeah, I think that was like the overall vision. Raf, the director of education at Apollo, came from Algolia, where they had a really successful education program there. And so we brought him in and quickly like spun up the first version of Odyssey, and it became this like huge success. Our customers were loving it. Like it was really helping a lot of people, like thousands of people, like in the first year. And so that was something that we wanted to invest more in. We added more courses. We built out like the code challenges feature. Now it supports multiple languages. Like you can do the courses in JavaScript, TypeScript, Java or .NET, which is incredible. Like we added videos to it, right? So it just kind of kept growing. And what's really cool is because we built it all in-house, it's all connected to your Apollo login. So, you know, if you have like a large team of hundreds of people learning this stuff, you can see who's taken the courses, how far along they are, if they've gotten certified, and everything saves your progress and is just like connected to your Apollo account. So it's a really delightful feedback loop and experience between the product and the education platform. So yeah, it's kind of like, it's almost like a feature of the product itself, right? Like really providing a high quality space where anybody learning GraphQL can go and enjoy it.
Yeah, and I think that's so smart, because a thing I hear people say a lot is, can't I just read the docs? Can't I just read the docs? Can't I just read the docs? And like, maybe, yeah. However, if you're looking to actually roll out a thing or get adoption across a whole team, there's more learning that needs to happen. So great docs in concert with great code challenges and video and just kind of maintaining that certification angle as well, which is like, how do we make sure that people are actually doing this so that when we have a meeting about a schema, they know what we're talking about, versus just kind of like hoping for the best and hoping people read. I think that's super important. So
yeah, and it's also like writing good docs is really hard, like especially like with a tutorial, right? You're more like building a project. You're kind of like taking the concepts you learned in the docs and like applying them. And that's very different than writing like reference documentation or kind of like explaining some common like jobs to be done, right? That's really like the role of the learning platform, is to put all of those concepts and pieces together for you in like one cohesive journey that it's sometimes really hard to accomplish through the docs, especially with something like Apollo, where there's like a front-end component, a back-end component, like a platform engineering component, right? There's so many different things. And with the learning platform, we're able to kind of like tailor those projects like to a persona versus like docs, which is more reference. I don't know if I explained that well, but it's kind of, I don't know. Docs are hard.
Docs are hard. And I think kind of more intended for that searchability, kind of like, how do I do this versus hands-on, which is really critical for people actually knowing how to do the thing. So not to say one is better than the other. They're really great together, but I think you did that really well. And you did docs really well too. Like, those are constantly sharing the right information as all that stuff is updated. And I think, how that must have been challenging. I don't know if this is a question, but I'll keep talking, I guess. It must have been challenging to, as you referenced, like the front end engineer, the back end engineer, the platform people, building a server, all these different layers. And unlike a technology that is really specific to one area of that stack, GraphQL is hard because it's like so many different people have to be bought into that. So how did you build such a killer community with so many different types of people?
Yeah, I think it...
I got to a question there at the end.
Yeah, you did.
Are you impressed?
I'm very impressed, yeah. Because originally I was like, are we going to talk about docs more? And now you're talking about community building. I'm like,
you don't know where we're going. There's no train of thought in 2 minutes of rambling. Keep going. Just you've talked to me before, you know how it goes.
I will share what we did in the early days, and that's kind of almost different than what happens in the later stages. So like in the early days, I would actually recommend not focusing on like three different personas, right? Like when you're like, you know, seed stage, series A stage startup, you need to really like focus. And so what I recommend is like focus on one group of developers, like a very specific group of developers that shares this like really painful, frustrating experience, and then go into that community and genuinely just like start being helpful. So for us, like back in the early days, React state management, as you know, was a total pain, right? Like you had a bunch of like custom Redux code that you had to write, or there were a lot of different other state management libraries. Even just choosing between them was difficult. Writing like BFFs to like combine all of these REST APIs together, like it was a real pain point. And it was one that I experienced even before Apollo, like working at Major League Soccer. And so GraphQL actually like solves a lot of those pain points for you, especially in like large applications when you have a ton of different APIs, a ton of different clients, right? You can kind of write that logic once and reuse it across clients, and then using a library like Apollo Client gives you a normalized cache and optimistic updates and like all of the features we know and love, right? So we just kind of went into the React community and started just genuinely being helpful. Here's how you should think about state management. Here's how you should architect your React app. It wasn't necessarily about Apollo or GraphQL, right? It was about how do you genuinely solve their pain points. And so that's what we did. We kind of said, hey, if this is frustrating you, you should take a look at this. This actually could be a solution if you have a bunch of APIs and a lot of different clients and different backend stacks, right? And so, yeah, that's kind of like when our community started like growing exponentially and adoption like really took off, was just like focusing on that very narrow community. Then kind of like fast forward a couple years later, and you had more companies like investing in GraphQL and doing this in production. Like then you started to see the back end folks get involved, and then it's like, okay, a lot of them, you know, probably tried GraphQL in the early days and they're like, what is this? Like, yeah. I already built this REST API. Like, why
do we need make me do this. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, why do I need this other thing? Like, I heard GraphQL like isn't secure and you can just like write whatever queries that you want, right? So it's like, then it's like, okay, how do you solve some of their pain points, right? With like educating around like persistent queries or like other features that kind of address security concerns. And then it's like kind of the platform people, right? Like GraphQL Federation solves a real need for them because they don't want 15 user types, right? They want like to build an API platform layer and integrate that into like their internal developer platforms like Backstage, right? So then it's like we started going to places like KubeCon and like CNCF events and API conferences and like meeting developers where they were there. So yeah, I think it's like just over time layering and understanding your audiences, what they're struggling with, and being able to kind of like map that back to maybe something that you can help them with. Always expecting nothing in return, right? I think the way that you build a really strong community is giving more than you take.
Giving a little and then expecting a huge return. I'm joking. No. Yeah. Yeah, I think that people don't want to hear that because it feels like if I start giving stuff away, then I need the return right away. But you did that so successfully and found a great reward of people being like, this has helped me out tremendously. I get why. I've tried it. I took the training that was also free. I read the docs that were super helpful. And yeah, I think that paid off major.
Yeah, I think it's like, it's all about give to get and just showing up and genuinely being helpful and trying to solve people's pain points. And I think at the end of the day, if you do that, all of the enterprise adoption and sales leads will follow, right? But like, you have to kind of do the work up front and build that trust, because it takes repeated interactions and consistency to build trust, and it can be lost in an instant. And so when there comes a time you want to maybe enter a commercial relationship with an enterprise team, right? Hopefully your trust meter is built up because you've demonstrated and shown that you're like a dependable partner, you know?
Yeah. The long game. It works.
Yeah. It really does. Like even now, like with my business and getting my own clients, like you can't like, now my job is part sales. Like you can't just ask them right away, right? You have to like demonstrate that value and like figure out if there's like something small, maybe a piece of advice that you can give them up front, and they're way more likely to work with you after that, you know?
Well, that is a very perfectly timed transition into talking about what you're working on now. You recently started Scale Advisors. You have the sweet domain scale.dev. That's I want to talk about that, but maybe offline. So tell me how Scale started. What are you doing? What kind of things are you helping clients with Scale?
Yeah, so this is super new for me, like literally 3 weeks old at this point was when I left Apollo. But I think, I had been there for almost 7 years, which is like an eternity in startup years.
In tech years, very, yeah.
Yeah, I wonder what the calculation is. Like, you know how like they have like dog years, like one human year is like 7 dog years. Like
totally.
One startup year is like 4 regular
years. I think that's like 50 years that you put in at Apollo. Yeah.
Yeah.
49 years. 49. Simba in the background. Yeah.
Exactly.
Peggy's dog. Sorry.
I think I heard him woofing earlier. I don't know if that's going to be like cut out of the recording or what.
Nope. Definitely not.
No, I love it. Guest appearance.
Absolutely. Checks in the mail.
But yeah, so startup years, dog years, I spent a lot of time at Apollo and I saw like the different phases of growth, right? From like when we were like a little scrappy open source project and the company was Meteor Development Group, it wasn't actually Apollo, all the way through like achieving a lot of success and adoption with our open source projects to achieving commercial success and kind of, building Federation, the community around that. So I've seen all the different phases of growth, all of the different like funding rounds too, all the way up to like Series D, and seeing how the company has grown and scaled and leading my team. And along the way, I get a lot of like inbound from people wondering about DevRel or developer education, like, you know, founders like asking me for advice or how to think about certain things based on my experience at Apollo. And I thought to myself, well, if people are just like doing this already and like I'm not actually advertising it, maybe like I could build a business around it. And I think for me, I didn't really know, like, jumping into a full-time role after 7 years at Apollo just didn't sound appealing. Like, I wanted, like, a new challenge. Also, I love my team there, and, like, the grass isn't always greener, and I, you know, I think so highly of my time there that it's, like, another full-time role wouldn't measure up for me, so I needed, like, a new challenge, and this is something that I've kind of always maybe thought about in the back of my mind, but like didn't really feel inspired to take action until really until now, and thinking about what I wanted to do next. So yeah, it's been a really fun journey so far. It's been fun diving into different types of problems, working with like early stage companies that are, you know, back in the scrappy days again, which is really fun. Like, I love leading a team, but I also sometimes love diving in and getting my hands dirty. So that's been really cool. Working on like different problems other than GraphQL. I love GraphQL. Don't get me wrong.
Forever. Love it. However, yeah.
GraphQL all day. Like, I love it. However, it is nice to like think about other technologies other than GraphQL, like AI or, Node.js or security, right? Like, it's so that's also been fun, kind of like learning new tools and applying my knowledge to them. And I think really, like, first and foremost, like, what I've learned through these conversations is people really need help, especially these like early stage founders. They are you know, just like fighting to survive, right? Like, the macro economy is really difficult right now. Yeah. They're having to still grow and achieve like product market fit, and they have all these things like working against them, right? So if I can help take this developer marketing piece off their plate and help other tools achieve the same success at Apollo that we've had at Apollo, because I've seen the movie before, I know what worked really well, I know what I want to do again and the mistakes that I've made, and if I can help other founders figure that out, I think I'll hopefully do something positive for the world. I don't know.
You definitely will. And I think that having knowledge of every little step along that journey and what works and what doesn't is so useful to people. How do you think that, as you think about DevRel in 2024, how do you think that's changed since the days of like flying to every conference and unlimited budgets? And like, what things are you thinking about as you put together strategies for these companies? What really works today?
That is a great and spicy question.
Spicy. You don't have to answer.
Yeah. No, I think it's important to talk about it because I'm sure there are developer advocates maybe listening and trying to kind of figure out like, how do I improve at my craft, right? Like, and kind of looking at it maybe from the other side of the business side of it, right? Like, companies have had to do more with less, like across the board, right? Like, obviously we've seen layoffs happening, you know, throughout the industry. Teams are smaller, they're not getting as much headcount, right? Like, it's all about doing more with less. And so I think an effective DevRel strategy in 2024 is all about, how do you grow the community and meet developers where they are and solve their problems? And also, if the time is right and there's a need, help the business, right? Like, and help, you know, maybe, I just lost my train of thought. I should probably start over with that sentence.
Go for it. Yeah.
So I think the way to think about DevRel in 2024 is kind of to take one step back and look at how DevRel can actually help the business. So one of the things that we set up pretty successfully at Apollo, and something that I'm also advising some of my clients on, is how do you connect open source adoption to maybe your enterprise motion in a way that is authentic and builds trust and is not going to turn people off like automatically. And so one of the things that's really important is kind of just like measuring developer intent signals is kind of what they call it. So like, what are people talking about in your community channels? Like, what are they, how are they interacting with you on like GitHub or Discord or YouTube or LinkedIn, right? Like, what companies do they work at, right? Are you starting to kind of see trends like maybe multiple developers on the same team or like starting to interact, or maybe like in the case of Apollo, they're asking questions about Federation and GitHub or on our forums, right? Like, all of those are really useful inputs for the sales and marketing side of the business. And even though those people might not be buyers, right? Like, the sales team can use that information to go out and find the buyer and say, hey, like, a couple of developers are evaluating this. Like, we could help you think about this, like taking a more consultative approach. And so what does that mean for DevRel, right? Like, you probably want to start kind of plugging all of those signals into one place and like drawing the dots between those. So we used Orbit at Apollo for a while, but they recently just sold to Postman. Common Room's another tool that you can use to do that. There's another one, Rayo.dev. So like, capture all those developer intent signals and then surface that to the rest of your org. And that's a really great way to be effective as a developer advocate. So I think setting up that is super important. Obviously, educational content and docs like is just so, so important, right? Like, that's kind of like one of the fundamentals. So making sure that that's complete and like easy to find. Also, like, allowing developers to get help through your docs. Like, we have, you know, buttons to join the community through those. We also have a sign up button for our product on the docs. That was like when we first implemented it, like back in the day, that was like 20% of our signups. It's not anymore, but little things like that can make a big difference, right? So I would say effective DevRel in 2024 is about growing the community and helping the community, but it's also kind of like an internal DevRel. How do you help the business in the process? And I think that's really like how it's evolving and how it has to evolve, right? It's not just about fancy conference talks and flying to what was the one in Austria, AgentConf, and going skiing for the weekend, although that is very
That's very fun. Yeah, I've never done that. We still need to do that as a group.
I feel like I haven't done anything in the React community in a while. I need to build
something. Just let us come. It'll be fun.
But yeah, it's like, I don't know, like, DevRel has just such a keen understanding of what developers are struggling with and what they need help on and how to drive adoption. And I think the more that you can get those developer intent signals back to the sales team, get that product feedback back to the product team, and have like really focus kind of on helping the rest of the org see what DevRel sees and what is so obvious to us sometimes, but it's not to everyone else. I think that's like super key, super important.
Yeah. I think you're just extraordinarily good at that, about communicating externally with people, but also bringing back that information so that people who are building the thing and might be a little detached from the actual uses of their product can really start to understand that as well. So good job. That's not a question. That's just passing that along to you. Is there anything that you want to plug or share, exciting tech things? Or, of course, we'll link to scale.dev.
Yeah, scale.dev is one I have been using for myself and also some of my clients, recommending WriteSonic for SEO pillar pages. If you I think, like, AI writing tools are interesting, right? Like, some of them just output absolute garbage. It's sometimes, like, hard to write the prompt to get the exact output that you want. I have enjoyed using it to just, like, do some keyword research, then create an outline based on the top ranking pages, and then it does give you an article. I would say you don't want to post that verbatim. Like, you should
print it.
Somebody technical do a pass on it and like infuse it with your own experience and knowledge and code samples and like make it richer. But I think in terms of like doing keyword research, writing an outline and not starting from a blank page, it's amazing for that. So anybody looking to write more content, Write Sonic is huge. One that I've been looking to try is Super Maven. It's an AI coding assistant with like a super large context window, so you can use it on large code bases. I have not tried it yet. It's like top on my list of things I want to explore next. So
amazing. I'm looking at that on a second screen. I haven't used that either. That's really cool. Nice.
Yeah. I don't know if it's good or not. It could be terrible.
Well, we'll all try it out and report back. That's amazing. Well, okay, finally. You just have to sit through this. Let it wash over you. I'll make you uncomfortable. And just say that I want to thank you publicly for many, many years of being my friend and just advocating for my company. Like, we got the book deal to work on the GraphQL book. And then Peggy was like, how do I help you? I can do all sorts of stuff and make sure that you get it reviewed by all these people. And then that just has been ongoing for years and years. So Peggy's the real deal and actually helpful and just one of the best people out there. So thank you for everything over the years, Peggy. I think you're amazing and I can't wait to see the scale at which you operate over time. I didn't even have that written down. But yeah, I'm super happy for you as you embark on this new chapter. And if the first 3 weeks is any indicator, I think you're going to do okay. Anyway,
I wanted to return the shout out back at you. I feel like your book, Learning GraphQL, and all of the collaborations that we've done together over the years, both at Apollo and I think like what's to come with like my, you know, clients and future clients, like you really just have such a keen understanding for developer education, helping people learn, and also making sure they have fun while they do it and they're laughing and they're feeling comfortable and welcome. Like, that is such a big thing for developer education, and you and everyone at Moon Highway just really exemplifies that. So I wanted to thank you as well, because we wouldn't have been able to do it without you, and I am just so grateful for your friendship over the years.
Way to turn it back on me. Yeah. This isn't about me, Peggy, but thank you very much. All right. On that note, thank you, my friend Peggy, for being part of this show. Thank you for listening to the Last Tech Podcast. We will see you next time.
Thank you. Bye.
The Last Tech Podcast.